From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it, so I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 22 responsively. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O help me, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare,
you who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
The Lord does not despise.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and should satisfy. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time they had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of sheep feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed of demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Gospel lesson, we've just heard a story about a man in a Gentile land east of the Sea of Galilee, an area called by some Gerasa. The man was possessed by demons. These demons had apparently controlled his life for a long, long time. So much so that he lived away from the nearby city and its people, lived in one of the many small caves that had been dug into the hills as tombs, without clothes, without contact with others, except at times when he became so violent that he had to be bound in chains and shackles and placed under guard to prevent his hurting himself or others. But he was so strong and violent that he would break loose from these restraints and flee off to the desert, the wilderness, to an even more isolated, and we would assume, an even more desperate life. We aren't told in our lesson why Jesus came to this man, or why when he first saw him, he immediately ordered the demons to leave him. Jesus and his disciples had endured a stormy nighttime crossing of the northern end of the Sea of Galilee to come. This wasn't an easy trip for them. Apparently, when they came ashore, even before Jesus had spoken to the man, he commanded the evil spirits to come out of him. This seemed to be Jesus' first priority. And the man's first words to Jesus were to acknowledge him as the Son of God and to beg him not to torment him. The demons were all he knew. To lose those was to him the potential of torment. In a strange way for this demon-possessed man, life for him with the demons, difficult as it surely had to be, with all the agony that he went through, was easier to contemplate than an unknown and thus far unexperienced life without them. As foreign as this story may be to many of us, surely we don't believe in demons. Perhaps many of us can, in a strange way, see some elements of our lives, of ourselves, in what's told here, in what this man's life was like. What sort of thoughts, what sort of memories, what sort of fears do we have, which at times can dominate our lives? How strongly are our lives directed by these things which dominate us, which seem to control us, which can cause us to avoid contact with others, to run off into our own private wilderness. How long have these lasted? Would having them removed from our lives for good cause us to feel tormented? And do we want them to be removed? Do we even believe these wilderness times in our lives can be removed? And perhaps the most important first question, do we believe that God knows our struggles? Do we believe that Jesus, who said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly," really means what he said? He certainly meant it for the demon-possessed man in Gergesa. There's no indication in Scripture that anyone came to Jesus beforehand to plead for this man, as we see in other cases when people come to Jesus to ask for his healing or for the healing of friends. Surely the man didn't. When Jesus began the healing process, the man asked him not to torment him. So the man, this was not the man's doing. But Jesus knew beforehand. He cared enough to set out with his disciples on that stormy night across the Sea of Galilee, and even enough to ignore the man's plea not to be tormented. The things the Lord gives us, what he does for us, are very often not what we expect or what we think we want, think we need. King David, in one of his psalms, tells us, and as I'm sure he was telling himself as he wrote this psalm, we call it Psalm 37, he tells us in verses 4 and 5 of that psalm, tells us to trust in the Lord, take delight in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. This is a psalm, and specifically these verses, which have given me great comfort at various times in my life, at least after I came to realize what was really being said here. If I truly trust in the Lord, the desires of my heart will be exactly what the Lord wants for me and nothing else. And if that which he wants for me, he will surely give me. It's an important understanding, I believe, of our relationship with our Lord and the depth of his love for every one of his children. Well, going on with our story, when the people from the surrounding regions heard about what had happened, probably primarily from the story about the herd of swine running down the steep bank and into the sea where they were all drowned, when they came to see for themselves, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. This is what Jesus knew the man needed. Jesus knew this was what would save the man. It was all a gift to him from Jesus, a gift given in God's love. It isn't said, but it's certainly possible that the man told those who'd come to see what happened all that Jesus had done for him, because we are told a bit later in this gospel lesson, he did this after Jesus had gone back across the Sea of Galilee. Our assurance of the Lord's care for us comes not only from what Jesus did for a demon-possessed man, as told in this lesson, but also from many, many other parts of Scripture, including today words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians that we've just heard read as our second lesson. Verses 26 and 27 say, In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Just as the demon-possessed man, who we were told wore no clothes, after the demons had left him at the Lord's command, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, so are we through our baptism, Paul says, clothed with Christ. Christ's life, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection are ours. They are a part, a significant part, of who we are, of who in Him we can be. I have just a couple of other insights from two authors. Henry Nouwen, a Roman Catholic priest, a very insightful Christian author, has written a brief passage, which interestingly enough came to me only last Thursday. A brief passage which I believe speaks powerfully in different words to the message we've been considering here, and I'd like to share Nouwen's words with you. Life is God's initiative and can end or change suddenly, unexpectedly, unpredictably. When we humans are ready to give up hope and resign ourselves to inevitability, God intervenes and reveals completely new beginnings. The resurrection of Jesus in God's sign is God's sign of breaking through every form of human fatalism and despair. In every critical event, there's an opportunity for God to act creatively and reveal a deeper truth than what we see on the surface of things. God also can turn around critical incidents and seemingly hopeless situations in our lives and reveal light in darkness. Nouwen apparently had what had been a lifelong struggle with depression. A significant portion of his writings seemed to have been motivated with reconciling this depression with his Christian faith. And it's probably this background that makes much of his writing so compelling and so full of truth, truth to ponder and to guide. He was someone who could easily identify with the demon-possessed man who we've seen this morning. And I suspect this great comfort in Jesus' care and concern from him. And then a second insight from a very different source. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, a paraphrase of the Bible, which has been popular for the past few years, which reproduces, recreates the words of the Bible in a much more colloquial way, expresses this promise in Galatians 3 this way: by faith in Christ, you are in direct relationship with God. Your baptism in Christ was not just a washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe. Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. God's original promise. We could state this in several different ways, but I think the most powerful way to state it is from the Gospel of John. Whoever believes in Christ will have eternal life. What a promise that is. Thanks be to God who gives us this promise and the means to live and die in that promise. Amen.